Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim to Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'll be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
Thank you.
want to thank everybody for joining me for another episode of Blog Talk Radio, if I can talk tonight. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining me for another episode of Blog Talk Radio with your host, Five Smooth Stones. I am Brother Seth, and this is Thursday, February the 16th, and tonight is Open Forum. Open Forum means we talk about whatever's on your mind, whatever's on your mind. We don't have a certain topic tonight. Every once in a while I like to do that because there's a lot on people's minds, a lot on my mind for sure. And this is a show where you can just call in and just kind of share what it is on your mind. A lot of y'all like that because you like to promote what you're doing, and I don't mind it on these kinds of nights. So if you're on the internet and you're needing to know the phone number to call in, it should be right in front of you to the left. And if you're on the phone line and you wanted to, you don't want to use your phone, you want to call in, I mean, you want to go to the internet and listen through your computer, you would go to www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Again, 5_smooth_stones. And then, of course, if you're raised with Blog Talk, give them some kind of, not your real name, just make up a screen name, and they'll probably ask you for an email address. They'll give you that screen name, and you can use that screen name to enter into the chat room and start chatting, asking questions, and sharing with other brothers and sisters. So please, folks, if you're going to go to the chat room, you're going to go to the web, you might as well go ahead and register with Blog Talk, and you always have that screen name you can start to chat with your brothers and sisters, because some of y'all have a lot to say. Some of y'all have been through a lot, and the Most High have just blessed you with wisdom, and we need to hear from you. It's just that simple. One thing good about these blogs, we all have something to say. And I've come to believe that I don't think there is no other way to truth. We have got to listen to brothers and sisters. I don't care who they are. I don't care where they're at in the struggle. Everybody has something to contribute. You might say, oh, no, I don't know much, man. I'm not. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you do. Everybody has something. Everybody has something. And, you know, the Most High is just like that. He don't share with one prophet everything. Yeah, everything. He just don't do it. It's not like in the days of Moses where he gave everything to Moses. We have the Holy Spirit. Some of y'all may not believe in the Holy Spirit. You may call it different names, but there is a spirit that has been poured out upon all flesh. And we have this ability to see into the spiritual realm from time to time. He allow us to see things that others can't see. It's just that simple. But as you know, the scripture says that we're not supposed to be island unto ourselves because we need our brothers and sisters. You know, and that's the other danger. If you become an island unto yourself, you can deceive yourself. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man. My goodness, this way seems so right. But the end thereof is destruction. You swore up and down you was right. But the end thereof is destruction. You've been believing all your life. But the end thereof is destruction. So how can you avoid that? Be in fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Not have a haughty spirit. Not think you know it all. And just have a, I mean, you know, once you know something, you know something. Now, don't throw away the baby with the bathwater after you make a mistake. But just know that we need each other. So tonight, open forum. There's a certain topic that's on my mind. I'll start this forum out. And you know what normally happens? It gets heated after a while. Several people start to call in with comments and so forth. As a matter of fact, it looked like one of the persons on the phone line already have a question or a comment this early in the game. Let me just see who exactly this is. Go ahead with your question or comment. Area code 760-429.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, I wanted to ask you, and I asked this of many people, not just particularly you, so I want the listeners out there to know that this is a question that I have, and it is a serious one, one that has been on my heart. I don't like the way I get attacked by it. You have to know that I even have preachers in my family, so I do ask this question, and everyone seems to not like this question. The question is, if I am to take things on faith and I am given free will, therefore to make my own choice, how then can man interpret this word and create an uncomfortable feeling for the creation of God? What I mean by the uncomfortable feeling is that if I have a faith, and this faith is true to me, and my God that I believe in and follow says that he has given his creations the freedom of will, and therefore, if he has done that, then they are to choose. How can then they can be, you know, ever condemned? I don't understand how one particular sect, if you want to call it a sect, of a certain part of Christianity, or even a part of something that we as Christians do not understand as Christianity, how can we then condemn? We can never condemn because Jesus did not condemn. So I do not understand why some of the discussions make it so necessary for one particular belief in the same Son of God to be more right than the other. And that is my problem with a lot of the organizations that make man-made rules you don't see in every single organization. And I am very careful with my words for one reason. I am not saying that people worshiping God it's a bad thing. I'm certainly not saying that. Nor do I want anyone to think that I'm trying to say that. I'm just trying to say that the word as it was written has been distorted. And that's the same thing that the media does to us. If you take one line of a scripture and you give it out there, you know, it's different from taking the entire scripture and the entire study. I think everyone can agree on that. Everything can be distorted in a way like we don't want that to happen. I mean, I'm sure no one does, but it does happen. And this is why I wonder why it happens. How can we allow it?
Let me, first of all, I want to just tell you, I appreciate you calling the show. And I more so appreciate your heart. I think I can hear your heart. I think I can feel your heart. And I think you're serious. So let me just say,
I am serious. I'm not playing. I'm not making a joke.
Let me just say this to you. Now, again, just like you preface your question, I want to say this to everybody listening. We let me just talk like I'm almost an atheist, even though I'm not. I always like to talk at different angles. I always like to jump out of myself and try to think like other people. Let's just say, for argument, that for those that have a hard time believing in God or believing that he is working in the lives of men, I think you believe that. But let me just, you understand what I'm saying by how I say this. If there is a God, that's why I said all that to say if. Some people, my friends, are saying, what do you mean if there is a God? If there is a higher power, if there is a being that sit around and create humans, if there is a being that know every facet of this planet, think about what you're talking about. You're talking about a very powerful being. Now, when something that powerful comes into our minds, our life, when something that big is controlling us, we need to stop and ask ourselves this question. Why do we feel like we can have issues with how it wants to conduct the planet? Let me just bear with me. I know you, just bear with me, please. What, you know, whether the Bible is true, a lot of you have issues with the Bible, or if the Bible is not true, if there is a higher power and he requires of us this, that, or the other, I'm sure you would agree that we probably shouldn't be doubting it, whoever, wherever it is. And I'm talking like this for a reason. Having said that, I believe that the scriptures have truth in them. I think there's enough truth in the book, in the Bible, in those 66 books, to set us and take us to another level. I've seen people that have used those principles, applied those principles, and their overall life is much better than those that I saw that didn't. That's just been my experience over and over and over. The people that seem to prevail in life, that seem to live the healthiest, seem to me are God-fearing, or fear the higher power. Now, having said that, I believe the scripture said very plain, I have given you a will. Now, I'm prefacing some scriptures here, prefacing some verses here. But basically, it says, I have given you will, man. I have given you the will to choose, the power to choose. And I have put before you good and evil. Then the scripture says, choose good. So he's not trying to trick us, get us to do evil, you know. And after Hold on one second.
Now you're trying to twist what I said, and I won't allow that, because I never said that anyone was trying to be tricked to do evil. I never said that.
No. I know, and you know what? I stand corrected if I'm saying that. If anybody think I'm saying that is not what I'm saying. I'm actually answering your question by throwing in a lot of other stuff, because people normally do go there, and you didn't go there. I mean, let me just answer your specific question, okay? You talked about the wheel and how could anybody be wrong. Let me just share this. You tell me if I'm off.
I didn't talk about the wheel. What I talked about was how could someone condemn, you know, this is a thing. I must say that not using specific words is sometimes a thing that I have a problem with. And my specific words were that people were being forced into belief systems that they were not comfortable with. And that being, I did not say this, but I will say it now, that being a lot of times within Protestant theologies, not just other theologies, I mean other theologies other than Christian. What I am saying is that there are a lot of people out there worshiping the same Jesus, doing the same things, and they are definitely of wanting to do this with a kind heart and a congregation. But the problem that I have is that they are cutting off ties with other Christians. And they are saying that their Christian faith is the only way. And so this, to me, is troubling. And that is basically where I'm coming from.
I see. Well, this is what I say to that, and I don't know what's the word. There is a phrase or a word for that group of people, that kind of behavior, but I have trouble with that same thing. So actually, we have some in common. I do have trouble with I know that you don't name names, and that's good. That's a very good habit, but I will. You know, okay. The charismatics believe that they're closer to the Most High because they speak in tongues, and if you don't speak in tongues, you know, you're not those that are speaking in tongues. And then there are those that say, well, I believe in miracles and your church don't. So, and they have a way sometimes of trying to make people feel bad and all this. And this is what I say to that. We all are at different levels. You know, it's just like twins born, a pair of twins. They may be twins, but they experience different things. They see different things in life, and even they may not necessarily be of the same persuasion when it comes down to religion. So I say we all at different levels, and I do think there are absolutes, though. I do believe there is one right way. I do believe that. I do believe in absolutes. The world could not exist without absolute laws that don't change. You have to have universal laws, and I do believe in absolutes. So what do you say then? Who's right? I think as we grow older, we begin to see, you know, the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, nothing new under the sun. And I think as when you grow older, you begin to see things repeat themselves. And this is probably one of the most strongest ways to find what is truly real. But, yeah, I feel what you're saying, because there are a lot of denominations. I don't want to quote the number, I may be wrong, but there are thousands of denominations, thousands of different beliefs that separate. For instance, just to give you a case in point, those that baptize in Jesus' name, you know, they really feel like they got the major revelation on that you must go down in Jesus' name. So anybody else baptizing the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they feel like, oh, y'all missed it, and you're not pleasing the Father. And these people have thousands of churches all over the world. So I hear you on that, and how they can feel they're superior in righteousness. The Bible says it like this, my friend, that our righteousness, even if we do have the right doctrine, let's just say you got the right doctrine, I'm a little bit off. The Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags. So even if you are doing everything right, if you, the Apostle Paul, wrote half the New Testament, the Bible says your righteousness is a filthy rags. Christ came, one of the purpose of Christ coming to the earth was to offer us a gift of righteousness. It's actually a gift. By him dying and shedding his blood, we have what we call a gift of righteousness. That means somebody walks up to you, hand you a package, and when you accept that package, you are as righteous as the Most High. It's called a gift of righteousness. It's the only way we can be righteous enough to please the Most High. We have to have it handed to us. Now, because we are then made righteous, and as righteous as he is by this gift, we then supposed to live a certain lifestyle that is equivalent to that, you know, that's holy, that's sanctified, that's different, that's set apart, because we've been made righteousness through this gift. And that's when all of the sanctification has to come into play. That's when you have to start trying to live a life, but you're not justified by that. You just are required.
Okay, right there. But wait, I listened to that, and I agree with your stance on that. And so tell us all then where all that scripture was about the righteousness and the development, because that is always an interesting point to me, when I can actually have someone direct me to the specific thing that they believe, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Brother, let me just tell you this. I am not calling you to take upon a stance of opposition. I am only taking upon a stance of understanding. So please do understand that with what I just said to you, because Blog Talk Radio can make everyone seem like it's always about you know, taking somebody's words apart. It isn't about that. I ask you in the truest sense of questioning about those scriptures, where you found them, and how a person could go about finding them and going over what you said.
Well, I appreciate, again, your heart. It's always good to talk to people that are serious, because I get so many people that have ulterior motives. Now, as far as the gift of righteousness, it is, let me just say this. Number one, I'm going to give you some sources, and then I'm going to make a statement. I do a show. My very first two shows was strictly on the gift of righteousness. And that no matter what we do in efforts to try to please the Most High, our righteousness is as filthy rags, because if you don't continue to do it every day, all day, 24/7, the Most High can't have you going here up and down. He is a holy and a righteous being. No man can please him on our own righteousness. Are we supposed to try? You bet. But no man can please him, because we up one day, we inspire one day, we down another day, and he can't have that. He would destroy us. No unrighteousness can stand in his presence. So the first two shows is over 4 hours of me on just this right here. Okay, so that's one source. Next source is, you probably say, well, I want to hear from the scriptures. I don't want to hear your show. But on my show, I list many scriptures. I know I list at least 20 on each show. That's 40 scriptures you should have right there on those first two shows. Number two, if you can go to Romans 5 and 17. Romans 5 and 17. You know, and I'll read this for you. You can just write it down for now. But it says, for if by one man's offense, talking about Adam, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more than they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Christ. Now watch this one more time. For if by one man's offense death reigned upon one, everybody believe because of Adam, we all have inherited this sin nature. Everybody don't have no problem believing that we have inherited this sin nature and sin and calamity and problems because of Adam. But it said much more. I love that phrase, much more, because that means as much as y'all see sin having been, you know, upon mankind, as air is upon us. Watch this. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by one, Jesus Christ. Now, what I normally do, and we know there was no J in the Hebrew language, and so that actually I just say Christ, but because his name was not Jesus, but that's a whole other Bible study. By this lamb, let's just say that the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, by him we have been given the gift of righteousness. And so, my sister, that just gives you now. Now, again, if you go to Romans, while you're in Romans 3 and 24.
And the Romans are in what section of the Bible? Tell us again.
It's Matthew, Mark. It's Matthew, this is the New Testament, Matthew, Mark,
because
Luke,
you see,
John.
This is important for listeners, not maybe for me, brother, but for many listeners, is actually where it's from, because maybe people don't realize the difference in
okay.
some of these people
well,
on BTR.
I understand.
And
I
it is from
that.
The New Testament, and it is from the teachings of Jesus Christ, and so therefore, when someone speaks about the Bible, it is important to say which part it is from, because he did pardon
us. You're right on point. You're right on point. Listen to this. This is to give you some more ammunition. Anytime I give a verse, I recommend everybody read the whole chapter, because you don't want a little quick fixes. You need to read the scripture in context. So I recommend that whole chapter. But here is Romans 3 and 24. Romans 3 and 24. Being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ, whom the Most High has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness. To look at that, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of the Most High. And watch this. Now, I know that's a lot of that King James lingo. You can always look in other scriptures and other Bibles and get it in broken down. But check this out one more time.
I got to tell you, I'm about to blow your mind because I didn't want to throw this in until now. But I am actually a well-educated Catholic. So, see, I am not so different from you. I use the Douay version of the Bible. It has more books. And I can tell you the whole history. But the thing is, that's not important. It's the belief in the Christ and what he represented, how much he gave, and what that means to humanity. That is something that is so important in the message that is being left out many times. And I am saddened by this, not just in one gathering, but in many gatherings. And it leaves out the importance of what really Christ wanted to teach us, and that was, you know, that this is something that we can all achieve. This is something that we can do by understanding that he is the light and the way and the truth. And so his teachings were what was important. It was not important for us to be able to say, I go to this church on that street with these people. It's the importance to understand that these are your brothers and sisters, and whatsoever you do to the least of his brothers, that you do unto him. And so you see, to me, I am not a practicing Catholic for reasons, but those reasons are not that it is a bad church or that I believe that every priest is bad. It is because I am having conflict, but I do not have conflict with who my God is or who Jesus Christ is. I don't have those conflicts. That's what everyone needs to listen to in their heart and their mind. Their God is with them every day. They just have to open their hearts and let him in, because he is always, always with us.
Amen.
And that,
amen.
And amen is something I'm not accustomed to saying because of who I am. I'm kind of a nerdy Christian Scientist person. That makes me even a little bit more complicated, because although I know many things about science, that doesn't take away from my belief in what I call, you know, the supreme being, my God. Let me say this,
Carla. I think I feel your heart. I think I feel your heart, and I'm wondering if we answered your question with regards to superiority of another group.
You did and you didn't. And see, this is what concerns me. I hope the message gets out there that all followers of Christ. Now, I know there's other religions, but I can't speak to them because I am a follower of God the Father and Jesus Christ. So therefore, I'm just saying that all of us that are followers of Christ, we should truly embrace each other and stop trying to pick apart these rules that, if you look truly into the scriptures, you're going to find out that a lot of them are interpretations, not only of man, but interpretations
Let me say this, Carla, because I'm giving you an ample amount of time to express yourself, but
your
I do want to hear
start.
From some... I'm sorry. No, no, no. You're fine. You're fine. Hold on a second. What I would like to do with this show tonight is allow others to express whatever they have, but this is open forum, and I've given you ample amount of time to share what you want to say. Now, what I'll do, what I'm concerned about is I don't know if we answered your question. I don't even know if I can answer your question, but I want to make sure you understand what at least I was saying in effort to answer your question, and that is that I don't think we'll ever always agree, but I don't even know that – I don't believe that it's required for us to please the Most High. Again, if the Most High is offering us through the blood of Christ redemption from all sin, a gift of righteousness. I had more scriptures for you. Romans 1, 16 through 17 talks about the gift of righteousness. Romans 3, 21 through 31 talks about the gifts of righteousness. Romans 4, 11 to 13 talks about the gift of righteousness. Romans 5 and 17 talk about the gift of righteousness. Romans 9 and 30 talk about the gifts of righteousness. Romans 10 and 6 talk about the gift of righteousness. Galatians 5 and 5 talk about the gift of righteousness. And Philippians 3 and 9 talk about the gift of righteousness. Hebrews 11 and 7 talk about the gift of righteousness. This doctrine, this belief, this that the Most High has set in motion is all throughout the Old Testament of Christ. This is the base. This is what we call basic salvation, where Christ comes and offers his blood like a lamb did in Old Testament times for the sins of men.
Well, yeah, but I don't really, as done to my question, that really, okay, that's great, gift of righteousness, but I got to tell you that, you know, accepting Christ as the true path, the light and the way is, you know, in my book, it is a very Christian thing because Christianity is about Jesus Christ. It's about the Son of God.
Definitely. Let me back up a little bit because I don't want everybody to think that we are necessarily saying the same thing. I actually don't believe in the term Christianity. I don't like that tag. I believe that we're followers of the Most High. I don't believe that we're of Christ. We're of his Father, and we follow Christ. We emulate Christ. We look to Christ as a general, if you will. He lead and guide us. He was the perfect example, and for that reason, we owe him a lot of glory and honor for that reason. But the ultimate is his Father. I do what I see my Father do. One lady walked up to him and said, "Good Master." And he said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one that is good."
So either you believe Christ was the Son of God, or he wasn't. Are you saying you're not Christian? Hold on one second.
Just give me a minute here. Give me a minute, please. I'm talking long breaths like you do. Just give me one second. Okay, but hold on one second. I want to get this point out, regardless of what your point was. I'm saying that Christianity has taken on a whole nother belief system since Christ came to this planet. He talked about someone else being greater. He talked about being like someone else. He talked about pleasing someone else. He recommended man follow someone else. He had disciples, of course, and he taught them the ways of the kingdom, but it was always about the Father, the Father, the Father. Well, in Christianity, this new term for believers, this new thing called Christianity, all the glory and honor and praise have been shipped to the Son, and the Father is never mentioned. It actually is a very tricky way to rob the Father of his family, which is why Christ was sent in the first place. So I'm very careful with Christianity and what it believes. I don't call myself a Christian. I am a believer in the Most High. I follow the Most High through Christ and his lifestyle. I try to emulate Christ in everything I do. and I don't believe his name was Jesus. You know, I believe it. I think Yahshua would be closer, or Yahawasha. Some people would say Yahawashe, but I don't believe that the J was a part of the Hebrew back then, and I know for a fact his name wasn't Jesus. So I try to go back to the Hebrew and glean from that. But if you're calling on Jesus, let me say this. If you're calling on Jesus and you're calling on the person of that book and you're calling on the one that walked the water, Mary's baby, you're calling on the Son of the Most High, and you've been tricked by those that mess with this translation and sliding in that J, I don't believe that the Most High say, I can't hear you. I don't believe that the demons say, I'm not coming out when you run up against evil spirits. I think that there's still authority in the person you mean to call by conditions of the heart. So I'm not like a lot of the people out here that say, if you say Jesus the Most High, It's too many miracles and too many lives that have been touched under that name. But I've just come to realize that that name is not the name of ancient times. Go ahead.
Well, of course it wouldn't be the name of ancient times. I mean, obviously not, because we certainly don't speak in that same language, nor do we speak in the secret language of the scribes. And nor did we have a say as to what the meetings of the canons, when they decided what books would be in the Bible and what versions, we had no say in that. We are a generation way past those times. So our decisions and what we do now have to do with people interpreting all of those things that existed. And so I agree with what you say in many ways, in that the interpretation, even the Christmas, okay, it's a celebration of a pagan holiday because that had to be the way that it was at the time. It was a very secret society, being a Christian, you see. I mean, you had to be one under penalty of death. Because
right.
That
and,
was
and,
truly...
And what I say to that, I don't let Christmas... I'm not like a lot of people. I don't let Christmas, the day, the 25th... I know the history of that day, but I don't believe because people use that day for witches or all of the different history that's centered around the 25th of December. I don't know that we don't have the power to define. In other words, if we say on this day, I'm going
to
do it. Hold on, hold on, hold on a second.
They weren't trying. Wait, I
want
to stop you. Cut you off.
What I was saying was, I don't know that on the 25th of December, if believers decide that they are going to take this day and honor the Most High, take this day and dedicate it to the Most High, I don't think that the Most High say, no, not the 25th, not the 25th, any other day but that. No, I think all days belong to the 25th. It's like also saying the word.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Okay, I'm going to have to put you on hold for a second because you got to be able to talk, okay? But what I'm saying is, it's just like the word amen, amen. A lot of people say, well, I don't say the word amen, amen, because, you know, there was a person by the name of Amen Ra, and, you know, his followers, you know, they would use that term, amen, amen. Well, does Amen Ra or whoever, now see, she couldn't talk, so she hangs up. I have problems with people calling the show, and if they can't get their little word in and be just a little patient, they hang up. You know, and it's just a form of, to me, white supremacy. It's like I got to be in complete domination because I know better than you. I'm educated, as she said before, and I just hate that. It's like I'm superior to you. I don't like that spirit. There's something wrong with that spirit, you know. It's my show. I'm letting her talk, but when I try to get in, she's constantly trying to over-talk me. And again, this is a spirit of white supremacy. Somebody may say, oh, your brother, you're being a little too hard. No, I'm not. I get it all the time. White people call this show, and they feel like she heard it thrown around and she's educated, you know? You know, and unfortunately, a lot of these people are Christian. So this is what I go through. This is my life story. I'm always dealing with people like this. And God knows I love him. I have no hatred towards him. But it ain't going to be so in my life. I have been dominated. My family have been dominated, used, abused by white supremacists long enough. So you just need to get saved, ma'am, in that area. Turn that area over to the Most High, along with the other questions you got. So anyway, she did bring up a good question as far as why a lot of people believe that their ways are superior to other ways. You know, a lot of belief, a lot of sects out there think that their belief system is better than other folks. Now that, she has a very serious point. I agree with her. But the good news is it don't matter really what we find out to be how much disagreement we have. I mean, yes, we should all come to the point where we all agree. But I don't think that's going to come until we actually behold the Most High, maybe until we're out of this body. And I don't think we'll ever be one. I don't think it's even a goal we should look for. We'll never be one. We're always at different levels in life, different obedience. What areas of life you're obedient in, everybody's not the same level. Even if we were obedient to the Most High, if every single one of us did everything we're supposed to do with regards to our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our wives, our husbands, our children, our neighbors, even if we was totally in compliance with the scriptures, we still wouldn't see eyeball to eyeball. I mean, you know, we wouldn't see everything the same way because we have different experiences, different fears. We're at different levels. We just mature different. Some of us are, you know, I'm not talking about the physical age. I'm talking about a spiritual age. Some of them may be 200 years old. Somebody else may be 900 years old. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Somebody may be 50 years old. Somebody may be 3 years old. In the spirit, we are at different levels. We see things different. The Most High don't even give us all the same thing. He give us this person get a part, that person get a part. And so how can we ever agree when we've been given different gifts, we have different different levels, different maturity, different experiences? I mean, how can we ever agree? So I honestly believe somebody said too many egos are involved. Well, you know, hopefully you weren't talking about me, but maybe my ego is. I don't know. I just feel like if someone called my show and I don't throw it around my show, but I mean, if you call it somebody's blog talk or whatever, and they trying to talk, especially if they let you talk the most, I mean, you really should let them talk, I think. So that's what I was saying. I just didn't like her spirit, you know. I mean, I was trying to answer a question, and she could sit in line the whole show. I don't care. I mean, you know, it's providing other people don't have their hand up or other. If I feel like it, I've had guests actually stay on there the whole show. I mean, if they're saying something, so I wasn't trying to rush it, but you gotta let me be able to talk. But anyway, this is open forum tonight, folks. We are discussing any and everything on your mind, and just like she called and talked about what was on her mind, you can do the same thing. You in the chat room, feel free. Okay, David, I see you. David was saying, I wasn't talking about you. He said I was talking about Israel in general. Yeah, that's true. I appreciate that. Any questions in the chat room, you can more than welcome to ask. Those of you on the phone lines, press 1, and I will get to your question or your comment. Surely you got something on your mind. This is a night I really don't like talking. I really want to hear from y'all. I really want to hear what's on your mind. But I know some of y'all want to hear what's on my mind, and you just sit there on the phone lines and not say nothing incognito, and that's fine. So what do y'all think of the sister that just called, though? I mean, we don't do racial matters. I haven't done it for a while, and I said I would never stop, but different things come up with me on this new job, and I had to postpone racial matters for a while, but I feel like taking it back up on every Tuesday night after a call like that. And some people may say, well, they don't have nothing to do with racial, man. That she was just, you know, it's not black and white. You can say what you want to say. Everybody got their opinions, again, but I notice a pattern when people call in, and a lot of times they'll throw their education around. The people that throw, that seem to do that the most is Caucasians. It's just, especially when they're calling a show by, you know, by a black person. You'll hear them saying, they'll just want to talk, I feel like they're entitled to talk more, or they like correcting. And, you know, you watch them when they call other shows, white hosts, they don't do that. They just give their opinion. They might throw their education out there and try to get a little credit or whatever, but they are a little bit more respecting is the word. And some of y'all may say I'm being a little hard, but I know what I'm talking about. I deal with it all the time. I can give you case in point after case in point after case in point after case in point. I deal with it all the time. My wife gets tired of hearing about it. I talk about it so much. White supremacy is alive and well. People feel like if you're a black man or a black woman and you're on a little old blog show and they have PhDs, that they some kind of way supposed to know more than you. And I don't believe that at all. I think the higher education, the deeper educations, come with what the Most High revealed to his people, not what these colleges do. I do respect education. I do respect the PhDs, the masters. I do recommend and respect them highly. However, I don't believe that I believe there's a trick. I believe there's a deception that comes with a lot of this higher education. One thing is pride. When people get these papers, a lot of time pride will develop in them, and that pride is almost like a giant weight that stopped them from learning the deeper things. And I've seen this over and over again. People like using big words and all this, but if you start talking about some of the basic spirituality things, something as simple as abortion, they can't figure their way out. They can't figure out, sexual preferences. They can't even figure out whether or not a man is supposed to be with a man or a woman is supposed to be with a woman. A woman is supposed to be with a man, a man is supposed to be with a woman. They confused and got it switched around. I mean, little basic things in life they can't see. They create words like sexual preference. They come up with all these philosophies that's just slowing down the human population physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. They become a problem. So this is why on this show, I don't have no big eyes and little U's. We all in the same boat trying to figure out what in the world this new world order is doing, how it relates to our family, how we just trying to interpret what these evil people are plotting, and not necessarily just trying to, you know, like we're hopelessly outside the powers that be outside their compound trying to break in. It's not like that. We are seeking the Most High as far as what is going on in our world. At least that's my goal, to seek the Most High, because he knows. He knows, and he has followers, even inside job. He even know people that he is working on their heart that is going to release information to the masses where we'll know exactly what is going on and how we ought to plan for it. So this show on Thursday night is designed to talk about the New World Order and what is really going on our planet. However, if you have any other comments or questions, just like she called in about the whole church thing, the whole belief system, that is fine too tonight. I want to do one thing and then I want to come right back. I want to play a little something, and while I let this play, I want to get a drink and I'll be right back. I got to get some of this green tea. It's just really bothering me. My throat, I think I'm coming down with some, and so I just want y'all to check this out. I'll be right back very shortly. We'll let this play for a minute. And thank y'all for y'all, again, stopping by Five Smooth Stones. We'll have a good show tonight.
Yeah. mighty men. Josh should be M-E-A-R. Can't forget Abby Shay, who bloody 300 men. He was the captain of the Lions Den. Can't forget Benaiah, who jumped in the pit with a lion. Slew it on a snowy day. Hey, I got a rep for the lion hearted. Y'all bless the spirit of my dearly departed. Who put their life on the line? Defended my people from the uncircumcised. Praise God for his heavenly power. My city rising head like a beautiful flower. My king be the champion. This has been tested. We saw city now. We got in the flesh. We saw city too. But we died like you do. By the Most High only, bring your tithes and offerings to the sons of Aaron, only to Jerusalem only. Deuteronomy 16, 2 Chronicles 7, 12, caution, read it yourself, this is not a lie, it'll bring you the message, I'll make you some great lessons. Deuteronomy 12, Leviticus 23, Leviticus 22, this word is the living truth, and so spit the fire. Liars never call me a dragon, cause I am only a lion. Still sing the songs of my grandpa David. Hey, I am nothing to play with. Got feelings in my music like my grandpa David.
Again with another episode of Blog Talk Radio. Again, we have open forum tonight talking about whatever is on your mind. If you're on the phone lines, press 1 and we'll get to your question or comment. If you're in the chat room, you have a question or comment, just simply type it in. Not a problem, we'll get to you. All right? But this is open forum. We're not on just talking about what the young lady was talking about earlier, but we're just open, okay? I must say that she did bring up a serious point. But, you know, I promise you, I would almost bet, if I was a bet man, I would bet a lot on the fact that she did not write down any of those scriptures, and she probably is not going to listen to the first and second show of Five Smooth Stones, where we deal strictly with the gift of righteousness. But I must say her question was a good question. I just wish she just wouldn't have that superior spirit and not like she can just, you know, listen. Just listen. Folks, we got to know how to listen. And I hope that I guarantee if I had a stopwatch and I talk time, how much she talk, how much I talk, I definitely let her talk the most. I don't mind sharing the mic, especially tonight because I'm not feeling well. So it's a shame, you know. You get people, and like I said, they get that degree, and they cease to learn. The more education they get, the less they open, seem like. Anyway, I want to comment on something that was brought up. Maybe she was used by the Most High to get us on this conversation. But while we talk about the New World Order, that's normal we talk about on Thursday nights, I just want to talk about make a quick comment about the gift of righteousness. You know, there's a lot of people that have come into this whole awareness, and this does have something to do with the New World Order, because Israel, the Most High is going to do a work with Israel in these latter days. And I'm not talking about spiritual Israel. I'm talking about natural Israel. I'm talking about those that are born of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And as y'all know, here at Five Smooth Stones, we recognize those people to be any people that is living out the blessings and or the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 and really the whole Bible. Anybody who are living out the blessings that Moses spoke of, or Moshe, probably is a more appropriate name, any of the blessings that he said would be upon Israel, we look for those blessings upon Israel, because he said in verse 46 that these blessings or curses would be upon Israel forever. So when we look and want to know the state of Israel, when we want to know anything about the nation of Israel, we first of all have to understand that the Bible said that Israel has been scattered to the four corners of the earth, and that they are there in those places where they're scattered, going through a lot of pain, because if they've been scattered, obviously they're in rebellion. So when you look at the curses, because they're not in the land of Israel, the people in the land of Israel does not live out the scriptures. They do not fulfill any of the prophecies where it relates to Israel. So when you look at the book of Deuteronomy, like I said, this is many more verses throughout the whole book, the whole Bible, but Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 seem to have more prophecies in it as it relates to Israel than any other book in the Bible. Now, when you look at what the scripture says Israel is supposed to go through, you must, if you call yourself a follower of the Most High, you must go by what Moses had to say versus what CNN, ABC, CBS, and any of the hundreds and thousands of books wrote about the people over in Israel. We've got to ignore man in this situation and listen to the Most High, what he said through his prophet, Moshe or Moses. In verse 46, Deuteronomy 28 and 46, he said, "And they shall be upon thee for a sign," speaking of the blessings or the curses, "and they shall be upon thee for a sign," speaking of the blessings or the curses, "and they shall be upon thee for a sign," speaking of the blessings or the curses, "and they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and a wonder, and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever." And unto thy seed forever, or unto thy children forever. Again, the whole scripture. "And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder, and unto thy seed forever." So when we look at the blessings, we look and see, is there a nation living out these blessings? Maybe Israel is an obedient nation right now, and they're living out the blessings. We look, we scan the planet, looking for people that live out these unique, specific blessings. Now, if we don't find the people, we then look for the curses. And I can tell you right now, if Israel is not in the land of Israel, if the nation of Israel is not in the land of Israel, there's a good chance they've been scattered throughout the four corners. And if they've been out scattered out the four corners, it's a good reason why they must have been in rebellion. That's why would the Most High scatter his people? But the Bible said many, many times that Israel would be scattered. Israel would be scattered if they disobey. So here's what we believe. We believe that Israel has been scattered throughout the four corners. There are people all over the planet claiming jewelry, claiming to be connected to the people, claiming to be of the house of David or the house of Israel, claiming to be from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And some people may say Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, because, again, we talked about the J. But I'm talking about Israelites by blood. Okay, when we talk about the New World Order and what these wicked people in high places operating behind secrets, when we start studying these people, we've got to understand that the Most High is going to do something with Israel. Speaking of Israel, as you notice in the news, CNN and ABC and CBS, you keep hearing about Syria this, Syria that, Iran this, Iran that. Folks, if you're studying, if you got an ear to the ground, so to speak, you should know that the United States of America is going to go to war with Iran. And they're in possibly Syria. They're painting these nations to be boogeymen. And when they go down this boogeyman trail, bringing up all kind of tiny little things against Syria and Iran, this is what they do with propaganda. They begin to just paint these people a bad color. They begin to just, through the United Nations community, the community of the United Nations, they begin to bring up all types of accusations, get the world on their side. And next thing you know, we got NATO forces in there with the United States and setting up puppet regimes for the United States all over the planet. That's a wrap. We do have a question or comment, area code 267-357. Go ahead with your question or your comment, please.
I got both. Yes. One, let's talk about what you just said about the U.S. going to war with Iraq. Well, I don't mean to offend or disappoint you, but I've been waiting for this since 1999. My money's on Iraq.
What do you mean you've been waiting since 1999?
I had a prediction from a very, very intuitive psychic in 1999. And she mentioned something about the U.S. going to war with a foreign country. Now, she could not put her hand on if it was from Iraq or not, but she strongly and clearly made other predictions which came to pass already. And one, she mentioned that the U.S. was supposed to go back to war. This is going to be a very long, hard, and tough one. And they look.
Before you say that, I got to ask you a simple question. It's kind of off the subject, but I got to ask you this for just programming. Say, how long were you on hold? How long were you on the phone line before you pressed one?
Well, I don't even know. I just woke up and I was here.
No, I mean, was it like you just call right now?
How long?
Not
really.
Listen, the reason why, because I definitely want to hear what you got to say. I really want to know who this prophet is and prophet is. So we're going to talk about that, but I just got to ask this question. Anybody else? There's been problems with Blog Talk, and they told me to make a note of it, so that's what I'm doing right now. Did you just tune into the show, like, within the last 5 minutes?
Nope.
How long you been listening? I'll just take a guess at it.
Well, if I had a time or a clock, I would say for a pretty good while now.
Okay, so that's what's happening. So there's people listening, and I can't see their phone number. That's exactly the problem. So go ahead with what you were saying. That's more important.
All right, now look, the U.S. is supposed to go to war. Now, I don't know when, but they are. And it sounds to me like they're going to war pretty soon. And like I said before, my money's with Iraq. I mean, they pretty much went over there and started crap with them anyway. I mean, it was pretty much minding their own business. They probably was trying to steal their oil, but chances are they got it. And, I mean, like, people of Iraq really are sick and tired of being pushed around and, you know, having a lot of, you know, false accusations dumped on their people. I mean, if I had the opportunity to kick some American ass, I would. Too bad I live in America. But anyway, like I said.
Well, you know what? Now, you know what that means, right, according to the powers that be. That means you are classifying yourself as a terrorist.
I am classifying myself as a peace lover. I love peace. And I'm all for fair and love and war. But you know what? This is a time where you got to draw the line. You have to draw the line. When is it going to stop? Really, when is it going to stop? They've taken so much. So much.
Well,
I mean,
let me say this to you. I'm just saying that's what they say. That ain't what I say, and I don't think that's what the Most High say. I think you're right on point. I honestly do. I don't care if they call us terrorists or not. You call me a terrorist, whatever you want to call me. But I do know this. The Most High is not about wickedness, and he is not about this opportunist, imperialist, greed, I don't even know what to call this country, you know, how they go around the world just sucking up resources and they're constantly exploiting nations for their wealth and their resources and setting up these puppet regimes. So you are right on point. And what's scary is people not saying what you're saying. What's scary is everybody should be saying what you're saying. If I right now got up and went around and started stealing out of everybody's houses, going off into people's houses, controlling them, doing something to them to make both parents scared of me, and from now on they start working for me versus for their family, and I start taking all their resources. If they got cars, I start taking their cars, their jewelry, everything out of their houses, and they just started working for me. Everybody will be looking for me with guns. If tomorrow I'll be on the news, everybody will be looking for me. But that's exactly what our country do, using these innocent young boys, and there is no outcry. That goes to show you how sick we are as a people. One more thing. The Most High, if we call ourselves followers of the Most High, said that we're supposed to be pro the kingdom of the Most High. We're supposed to be pro his kingdom and his concepts and his laws. We're not supposed to be pro the United States. We're not supposed to be pro UN. We're not supposed to be pro Iran. We're not supposed to be pro Iraq. We're not supposed to be pro Israel. We're supposed to be pro his precepts and in the kingdom's mentality, in the kingdom way of doing things. The United States could be labeled the terrorist. Not the friend, not the democratic society where you got free this, free that, but in the kingdom, we might just be considered, and there ain't no might to it. My belief is we are the terrorists. We are the ones that are causing.
I'm not a terrorist.
So I'm saying according to the term, what the media is saying is terrorists, you fit that. And I fit that. And really and truly, anybody that opposes.
I don't.
Now, listen to what I'm saying. This is what they call a terrorist, okay? This is what they call a terrorist. Anybody that opposes the United States and what our great army is doing, that speak out against our great army and our great democracy, as we go across the world to set up democracies and bring peace, anybody that opposes our military actions is a terrorist. You just got through saying you disagree with, you know, you wouldn't mind kicking some American butts. You just said American tail. You just said that.
So? What the fuck are they going to do to me? Do whatever they want. They already took my life. I don't have a life. They took everything from me. What more could they possibly do? Lock me up? I can give a shit. I can live anywhere.
Well, I'm saying you can say all that, and you may have some points. If I could radio or call the Most High and put him on speaker, he might say you're right. They have taken everything from her. But I'm just saying, according to the CNN, ABC, all of the pundits, you, my friend, are considered a terrorist. Because you're speaking against the United States. But it ain't just
no,
you.
No, we are their prisoners. We're no terrorists. We're prisoners. We are put here, we're forced here to be the audience of the American people, or in this case, the European people.
What I'm saying is you're using the correct – what you're saying is you're saying I'm no terrorist because you're going on a different definition. You might be going on the real definition, which I believe that's what you're doing. The real definition to me of a terrorist is anybody that's anti the kingdom of the Most High. Anybody that's not promoting his laws is a terrorist. They're terrorizing humanity. They're terrorizing their own bodies. They're terrorizing their own minds. They're terrorizing their own children. They bring in pain. They're bringing death upon humanity and upon the environment, the earth. So they are terrorizing everything they come in contact with because they're not following the laws of the Most High. That, to me, is the complete definition of a terrorist. But that is not what you're going to hear tomorrow morning on Good Morning America. A terrorist is anybody that opposes the United States. It's just that simple. And you, my friend, for sure opposes the United States and what they're trying to do, and that is kill, steal, and destroy.
Actually, no, I'm not opposing. I could care less what they do because they're going to do it anyway. Chances are they'll get away with it. And then
Hold on. I don't want to talk in circles. What do you mean? You don't oppose them. Do you oppose them going over to Iraq and
it's not my thing we're doing. I'm not
on
a political seat.
Hold on a second. I just want to ask you a simple question.
Well, you know what? Don't be a cop season and mute me.
Do you oppose them going over to Iran, setting up their own man, puppet regime? Do you oppose them going over there and taking that oil, you know it's all about oil. Do you oppose all of those innocent Iraqis dying trying to defend their country? Do you oppose what the United States did in Iraq?
Plead the fifth.
You already said it. You don't have to. Everybody listen.
I plead the fifth.
Well, you can't plead the fifth because you just said it earlier. You just
too
said
bad.
I'm for Iran. So, anyway, whether you plead the fifth or not, the bottom line is the scripture.
Do you believe in the Bible?
I believe there's truth in that book for sure.
But do you really believe in the Bible?
I think I just answered you.
I didn't quite catch what you said. Could you repeat that?
I believe I have had experiences in my life. Let me ask you a question. A little different. I've had experiences in my life, and when I go to explain to people what happened, there is no explanation. When I look into the Bible, there it is, day clear as day. When I go ask people, they don't know. When I look into the book, there it is. I've had encounters with spirits, with experiences that nobody can really explain. I look at the book, there's other people that have the same experiences. When I go talk to all these people that are supposed to be against the Bible, they know better, they have no clue. I go back to the book, there it is. So I am a friend of the book. Now, do I think it's been tampered with? Yes. Do I think books are missing? Yes. Do I think the man have not tried to change the definition? Yes. But that's with anything he put his hands on.
That was an unexpected answer. But you know what? Too bad I don't feel the same way. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. I practice religion every Sunday. As a matter of fact, I'm going to church this Sunday, if God let me.
Okay. I don't understand your point, or if there was a point.
Well, I would think you're a very strong believer of Jesus Christ, since you tried to point out that I was trying to be terroristic, which I was not.
Ma'am, listen to me, please. Please don't misunderstand me. When I say terror, it's got two definitions. One of them is what they say. The one of them is what the Most High say. What the Most High say, I don't think he called you a terrorist. What they say, they can say a terrorist is somebody that wear a blue ribbon in their head. You might have on a blue ribbon. Does that mean you're a terrorist? No. But according to some people, if you got a blue ribbon in your head, they say you're a terrorist. That's all I'm saying. They're saying that when we sit on these blogs and on Facebook and we make comments like, I could kick some American butt, as you said earlier.
Yeah, and they can't do nothing. They're going to hold me for 72 hours to a 30-day trial, and that's it. They can't really do anything unless I'm sewing a device in my underwear and walk into an airport, which I won't be. Trust me.
Okay.
They'll get what's coming to them. They've already dug in their own grave. So all they got to do is sit back and watch it.
What I'm saying to you, according to the powers that be, and then I want to move on to another point here. If you don't have anything else to say, all I'm saying to you is, according to what you said, things like I'm going to kick the American butt, they can't do nothing to me, they're going to get what's coming, all that. That's terrorist talk to them.
Are you trying to scare me? As a matter of fact, I'm going to open up my windows and my doors tomorrow and just sit and wait and watch.
Even when I say something like the Most High don't want us to be pro-America, he wants to be pro-kingdom, they say, well, that's you trying to get people to not believe in the flag and American democracy. And that's exactly what I'm doing. I believe that people need to believe in the kingdom. In the kingdom, there really ain't no vote. We don't vote on nothing. Do I think we should vote? Yeah. Yes, we should vote, because that's the system we live in. But there are times when we're going to be doing some things that's better than voting. But because our forefathers fought so hard to get, and our foremothers fought so hard to get the voting rights, I think we should vote. But I don't believe in a democracy. How can you all vote on something? If the country is predominantly wicked and you vote, you can never get a resolution. Sometimes you have to go with more of a dictatorship. Sometimes one person got to lead everybody, and that's what the Most High have. In his government, he calls the shot. The Most High calls the shot. Ain't no voting. So some governments do better with dictatorship. Some people do better with democracy. All of these earthly kingdoms, all these earthly philosophies have issues. So this is why we go with the kingdom. I'm not pro-United States. Some things I may be for Iran. If Iran go crazy, do something stupid, then I may take the side of the United States, and then I may take the side of Nigeria. I mean, you just go with whoever is following. We're supposed to be walking to a higher standard. That's all I'm saying, my sister. But listen, did you have another question or comment? Because I want to move on to something else that was on my mind. Did you have any other question or comment?
Yeah. I'm not a terrorist.
I didn't say you were.
Let me say it like this.
I don't believe you are. But if I say what you said to certain authorities, and you know how you come on to me, you're for Iran. Well, if you're for Iran, for sure they're gonna label. But you're not a terrorist in the way that they're gonna come after you. You're not a threat to nobody, probably, unless you own a whole lot of radio stations or a lot of armor, you know, a lot of firepower, firearms or something like that. But just somebody on a blog talk saying, you know, the things you said, they may still call you a terrorist, but they just may say she ain't no threat. So they ain't going to pay you no mind. But if you become like Rush Limbaugh and you got fat millions of people following you and you start making comments like that, oh, yeah, they will deal with you.
You sound like a very terrified man.
I'm not terrified because I just told you I trust in the Most High. I'm just saying to you, ma'am.
I don't know. It just sounds like you're terrified of something, like you're just anxiety about something. Why are you afraid? What are you afraid of?
Listen, I'm not afraid of no man, as I wouldn't be on a blog talk talking about we should be pro-America, we should be pro-the Most High. You don't say that if you're afraid, because there's people monitoring these lines.
Exactly.
So
I think, like, even though you're trying to be careful what you're saying, it sounds to me like you're putting off as someone who is very timid. You're afraid, and I don't know why. And you just prove my point. Americans are prisoners here. They can't speak freedom of speech, because if so, they'll be thrown in a cell, right?
Not all Americans. They can't throw everybody in the cell. The prisons are already overcrowded. I got another person I want to question or comment. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But listen, you can think what you want to think. I ain't trying to change nobody's mind tonight. I'm just saying to you, I ain't afraid. If you're afraid, you don't do what I do. I got shows saying all kind of stuff. Just look at my shows while you're sitting there talking and tell me.
I am. I'm actually on your page right now.
Yeah, I speak out against the New World Order, World Bank, World Health Organization. I believe that white people come from black people. I think racism is real. I give racism a fight on this show. I have been constantly fighting. So you got to listen to more shows when you make that comment. I'm not timid at all. As a matter of fact, I've lost 21 jobs speaking up, demanding rights. I'm a fighter. Everybody know that. So you just hear me for 30 minutes and you got these comments, and that's fine. But I got another person that wants to do what you're doing, make a comment or a question. So will you, if you don't mind, I want to move on. I do appreciate you calling.
I don't mind.
Go ahead. And,
move on.
And I appreciate you standing up for what you believe. Okay, so that was one caller. And if you don't mind, ma'am, if you can press one on your phone, your hand will go down. And then later on, if you want to comment again, I'll bring you back on again. It's not a big deal. I'll bring you back on. But right now, I need you to press one on your phone. Okay. Area code 215-300, 215-300. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I just wanted to comment on what the female was saying in regards to her not being a terrorist. Even, like, if we were to threaten an individual and we were to become arrested, they will use the term terroristic threat. And also, the system has put things in place where they can pick you up and do whatever they want to you in one aspect if they feel as though that you are a threat. Another comment I wanted to make, it seems like she's trying to get you to be real vocal in expressing that, which I don't know what her purpose is, but that's just how it seems like to me.
You feel like she's trying to get you to be vocal?
It seems like she's trying to draw you into basically badgering and being very disrespectful about, it seems like she's trying to get you to sound like a terrorist. Like, I understand what you're saying because according to them and their definition and the laws that they are putting in place now, you know, like, I was looking at a documentary that I had purchased. It was about Gaddafi in America. But the point is they had a representative or a senator that was addressing the House or the Senate or the House of Representatives, and he was saying that they should not go with the law that Obama just put into place, where if you consider it to have one finger missing, you can be considered to be a terrorist. If you have more than 7 days worth of food in your house, you could be considered a terrorist. So I don't know why she thinks that. I don't see how she could see anything different. So to me, we have to break you into a conversation to get you to, you know, say things that the people that may monitor this call may deem to be a terrorist.
And I think you're right. It's all kind of people. I don't know if she mean that or not. I mean, it does sound like it was a very odd call, I thought. But she could just be a regular person like you just calling in. But you know what? It don't matter if she is just I think she's not what you said, but it was kind of, I thought, a little odd how she was talking. But you know what? It don't matter. It don't matter to me. And I'm not saying to you in your face it don't matter. I'm not speaking this. But I'm speaking right now to everybody listening that I don't think she is any type of government or nothing. I just don't think that's the way they roll.
I'm not saying
that
she is. I'm just saying I just think that she wanted to get into that type of conversation, which we all know. You know, I mean, we could talk about the New World Order and everything, but the fact of the matter is that it is laws in place that they, you know, can label you as a terrorist. So you have to be careful about some of the things you say, like, you know, in regards to anti-American things.
Right, right. And that's all I was saying. She kept saying I'm not a terrorist, and she got offended by me saying, you know, there's is a terrorist, but I'm not saying she's a terrorist. I'm saying the kind of stuff she said and the kind of stuff I say all the time, for sure I know I'm on a list. I already know I am. I'm not proud to be. I wish that I wasn't. But I know beyond a shadow of doubt I'm on a list. Now, what they're going to do, they can't lock up the whole nation. So they look at levels of threat. What threat is this person to me, to us, to the country? What can they do to us? Now, if I owned a business, if I was a millionaire, I'm talking about this, he can do something with that money if he wanted to. If I had a large blog talk following thousands and thousands of people listening, okay, that's a more, but, you know, I have quite a few people that listen, but I don't think that I have enough power. They can also look at your credit. They can also see just a little bit of everything about you. So if you don't have A1 credit, they know you can't borrow. So, I mean, I'm not that horrible credit. I'm not saying what I have. I'm just saying they look at all that. You know, who is he? How big is his circle of friends? What do you like? And when you got all of these ducks in line, if you got a lot of people following you, you got money, then okay. I think they put an agent on your case and people follow you. You know, I think they monitor your calls. I think they have a filter on your email when you send email. But just for everybody on the blog that's hollering about one world government, please, it's too many of us. So I'm not, you can't stop what the Most High is going to do. When the Most High does something, he's going to do it to his people, and it's going to be so many. These folks don't have enough people in place to stop us. So I am not worried. And even if they could do something, even if they knock on my door now, you got to have something to die for as you're not worth living. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I hate to go there, and I really don't want that to happen. But at some point, you got to be a man or a woman and stand up for what you believe in. I just feel like we need to be pro-kingdom. What does the Scripture say is a good nation? What does the Scripture say we should supposed to do with our boys instead of send them off to war? What does the Scripture say we're supposed to do with our money instead of fund these elaborate, gigantic corporations that's enslaving all of us? What does the Scripture have to say about taxes? What does the Scripture have to say about all the things that we figure are injustice in this nation? What does the Scripture have to say? If we are people that are led by Scripture, that's what we should do, my friend. What's your name again?
My name is Kia.
Kiara?
Kia.
I just like to call people by their name, but it sounds like you're saying K-I-A, Kia.
Yes.
But all I'm saying is we can have these little blogs and these little talks, and it's nice and cute, but at some point you might have to give an account of your life. But this is how I look at it. You're going to die anyway. You might as well die fighting for a cause and fighting for what's right and having to look in the mirror and know that I've done all I could to promote the kingdom and that I'm not a part of a terrorist network, because that's exactly what the average American is. I think they're part of a terrorist network. When you just blindly serve your government and you blindly let them take away your rights and you blindly let them do this and you blindly let them do that, you are a part of a very wicked, a nation. And I just feel like America is on the wrong course right now. It is not. We need oil bad, Kia. You hear me?
You said we need mortal?
We need oil bad. The clothes we're wearing right now was produced by a machine. Most of our clothes is produced by mass production. You know, machines, they need oil. Even credit cards are, I'm just looking around, even anything you can see almost in your house, it's mass produced. Everything you see in your house is mass produced, most of it. And so you got to have machines. Machinery is what runs America, and we need oil for that, oil for our cars. And our way of life depends upon that oil. And that is the reason we're in all these countries blaming them, making it look like their leaders are dictators, like making these leaders look like they're so horrible and so bad. This is why we got our nose in everybody's business, because we're taking advantage. And you ever wonder why the United States is in countries with with the most resources. How come we don't go pick on countries that don't have no resources but that's got crooked leadership?
You are exactly right. I mean, I agree with you 100%. You know, this is, I mean, a lot of things is based on wealth. And like you said, you have other countries out here that are going through, you know, civil wars within their countries or within a nation, and you don't see our government or the United States going and trying to intervene. They're only going to go and try to intervene only when it's going to be in their best interest in regards to a monetary value or wealth.
Right, and I'm going to tell you something. If you want to really know what's going on, if you care that much, or anybody listening care to really know, you want to know, I mean, you really want to know what is really going on, go find out the nations with the most oil or the most, for lack of raw materials. Go find who got uranium and whatever it takes to build bombs. You know, whatever, like, weapons are very, very, very important. That and oil. Whatever it takes to make, nuclear, that's what I meant to say. Whoever has raw materials to make nuclear weapons, follow those countries and follow the country with oil. And you just keep your eyes on them. And it's almost like girls and guys when they date. Certain countries we are married to. Certain countries we're dating. Certain countries we used to has been. There's certain countries we're no longer fighting with, or ex-lovers. If you can remember that and just think about, follow those countries, you will see a relationship that'll blow your mind. It's just like,
well, I don't know. I already know. Trust me, I do know.
And it's really weird. But, you know, I'm telling you, all you got to do is just sit back and follow the money trail, and you can just, you don't have to wait on CNN. You don't have to wait on none of these people. You can know things. The Most High, I believe, shared that with me. Just follow who got what. If they got a lot of resources, sooner or later we're going to have trouble with them if we don't already control them. We may already control them, you know, like Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is in our pocket, so we don't have to go to war with Saudi Arabia, but Iran is not. Venezuela is not. You know, Chavez is not in our pocket. So we have got to make him look like a boogeyman, and then eventually, if we need to, we'll topple him and take his stuff. I mean, it is so simple when you look at it like that. It's all of a sudden you begin to understand stuff that ain't even printed yet. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to let you go, my friend. September the 11th, the United States, back in 9/11, when we were struck, I woke up, I heard what happened. The minute I heard what happened, this is what I said, and I got in trouble at work because I said, this is nothing but George Bush doing this to give us an alibi to go to war with Iraq. If I'm lying, I'm flying. This is exactly what I said. And there are people that listen to the radio station in Cincinnati, WCVG. They are my witness because I said it for the whole city here, and I said it day in and day out. I said it September the 12th, and I said it September the 13th. But then I kind of stopped talking about it because they started talking about Osama bin Laden. Actually, that's not true. I said it September the 12th. I didn't say it September the 13th because they started talking about Osama bin Laden on September the 12th. So I just quit saying it. But I did say it enough times on this particular show. I said, this is our government. I said Bush, but I meant our government. And it sounded like I was crazy. You know how that sounded on September the 12th to say that it was our government, because everybody was believing Osama bin Laden. And so I just kind of quiet. I just stopped saying it. I kept saying, I was wrong. Maybe I got this wrong. And the only time I started saying it again is when I was leaving work and I heard George Bush say, that man wanted to kill my daddy. And I knew he was talking about Saddam Hussein, and I just stopped in my tracks and said, I knew it. Then I start saying again, we're going to war with Iraq.
we going to war with Iraq. Then I sounded even crazier because everybody was talking about Osama bin Laden, but I heard George Bush say that man tried to kill my daddy. It wasn't even a good month later we was in Iraq. And everybody remembered me because they said, you said it, you said it, but you just got to follow the money trail. Really, we need oil. We don't want to use our own. We only have so much. We need a lot of oil for a long time. So we don't want to use ours. We want to use others. So that's why we're in all these places with all these wars. So those listening, you got boys and girls, don't send them to war. Don't send them to the service because they're going to be in some kind of war. Go ahead, Carl. I'll let you have the last words and I'll move on.
I mean, you're basically right. You basically sum everything up. You know, it is about the oil. And not only that, you know, if they get control over it, look how much money that they will be able to make. I was looking at the documentary. China is one of the hugest users of oil. You know, the oil supply that they need is huge. So not only do they want to take over the oil, but look how much money that they would generate by being a supplier to other nations or other countries. Any country that has any type of, you know, natural resources, they want to take it over, and they want to generate that wealth for themselves, and they will lie, and they will put false images out in the media, and, you know, people will look at it, and, you know, they do that to try to justify them going to war. Even with this 9/11 thing, you know, like, to me, you know, you had a person, to me, it was nothing more than a friendship that went bad between Bush and, you know, Osama bin Laden. So that was a personal friendship. You shouldn't engage a war, you know, and put people to go to war and innocent people dying because of a personal friendship. And then you went from Osama bin Laden, then you go from him to Saddam Hussein, you know, and people sit here and glorify and happy that they killed Saddam Hussein or happy that they killed Gaddafi, which I think is very sad because how can you rejoice in the kidnapping or the murdering of any individual? That's not being righteous.
You know what? I did a show on Gaddafi. Y'all will be there. I love Louis Farrakhan. I love that man. I'm not a Muslim, but I love Louis Farrakhan. I don't think he hates. I think he hates wrong and sin. But he is good friends with Gaddafi and have nothing but good things to say. And I know Farrakhan ain't going to support nobody that is as bad as that man say. This man did a lot for Africa. But anyway, what I was going to say about oil is this. It ain't just us. Another reason the United States is in a fight for oil is not just for our way of life, but India and China is the largest countries in the world. All right, now they're becoming more and more like so-called developed countries, and these people are wanting the things that we enjoy, and that means more oil for them. Now, they have we have 300 million almost, and they have a billion, so they're three times bigger than us. So can you imagine that whatever amount of oil we need, multiply that times three. If India becomes as developed as we are, they'll need three times the amount of oil we do. China is another country with over a billion people. They'll need three times the amount of oil we need. All of this demand on oil, you know, this is why we're running and trying to just take over everybody, because India and China is meeting and thinking the same way. It's just a matter of time. They're going to probably start doing the same thing we're doing, going around, starting wars, exploiting, because if we don't get the oil, my friend, then we don't have this way of life. This is why they keep saying our way of life is about to change, folks. Those of y'all listening to me right now, this is why they keep saying our way of life is going to change, our way of life is going to change, our way of life is going to change, because they know that with India demanding more oil, China demanding more oil, and them two is enough to just take all of the oil. I mean, they are enough to threaten our way of life, and India is progressing. China is progressing. We ain't even mentioned Europe, European countries. They need it, of course. They live like we live. So all of these nations wanting this black gold, so to speak, you know, that's the problem. That's why we're We have got to be in everybody's business. We've got to be controlling who's elected and who's not. This, we've got to have our boys in what they call perpetual war, constantly, constantly in war all across the planet. This is why. This is a wicked nation. This is a wicked scheme, all because of a way of life. Instead of us just enjoy a more simpler way, we still can have our nice, some of the nice things we enjoy, but, you know, we won't have the excess that we are used to. You know, we still can eat well. We still can have fun pastimes. We still can have, you know, the guys can still have the football games and whatever. So America will look a lot like it look right now. We just won't have all of this excess. We won't, maybe we may not have as many vehicles on the road. Maybe we may have a massive mass transportation, you know, public transportation. We may have a lot of trains and subways versus cars. So what? It may look more like New York than it would, you know.
But that wouldn't be that in either, considering how a lot of that stuff, you know, the smoke and the effects of it affect the environment as well as the individuals as well, because they breathe in, you know, air. So in the end, you know, it wouldn't be a bad thing. But then you're dealing with, you know, some people just go the opposite way of what they should do in regards to the Most High. You know, you have beings out here that just, you know, going the opposite way. You know, to me, I don't like war. I don't think war accomplishes anything. You feel me? It's death. You know, and then you have so many innocent people that die as a result of these political people that have disagreements. But yet you will not allow food to go into a country where you got people starving because their leader will not comply to your rules. You feel me? So where's the justice in that?
Well, like I say, and then you make some very good points there. Like I said, if you look at it, maybe if we was president, we wouldn't think like we're thinking right now, because as president, and as chief of defense or defense minister, you got to make decisions. Are you going to sit back and let the country go into a panic state when they have to change their way of life? Or are you going to get up and go get some oil by force? Maybe, you know, I don't know. I think I would still say, hey, just enjoy less. Remember the Most High was telling me that. That was on my spirit a lot. I kept hearing this, enjoy less. Enjoy less. And I know what my mind, because my mind don't think like that. My mind does not think like that. But I remember it's been 10 years now, I kept hearing this phrase, enjoy less. Learn to enjoy less. Learn to enjoy less. Learn to enjoy less.
Let me ask you this question.
And some people might say, what do you mean? That sounds like poverty. What it was saying, this voice, I believe, was saying something is about to happen to this country. Get used to less. Instead of having 50 pair of shoes, I'm not saying that I have 50, you know, what's wrong with 7 pair of shoes? I mean, who's sitting up counting how many shoes you got? I mean, instead of all of the ladies having all, just still look cute, still keep your standard, but why do you have to have so much? This way, when the country goes through this change, we won't be fazed by it, but everybody ain't listening. I do mean everybody. It's just people are not listening. But truly, things are going to change. Cause like I say, India needs oil. They need it bad as we need it. And they are developing every day. They're not going to be a third world country always, and neither is China. You know, they are constantly developing. China is using more oil probably than we are. I mean, I don't know what the statues on that, but I know one thing.
They are using the largest user of it, but the thing that the question should be, I don't think it's going to be a shortage of the oil. I think because, you know, it can be sold. The thing is greed, and some other countries want to take total control over it. Why not continue to buy it? Like, if people are complaining about their way of life going to change, okay, then the government or the country should still continue to purchase it. But no, they don't want to do that. They want to take control over it. At the expense of
Yeah, that's true too. That's true too. But like I say, all of these so-called third world countries want to be developed countries. They want everything the United States get, and that means more oil. And that's why I'm telling you, if somebody can just understand that, you can understand the whole world. You don't have to sit and watch hours and hours of CNN, ABC, CBS. If you can just understand that whoever has the most oil, keep your eyes on those countries, and whoever has the materials for nuclear weapons, keep your eyes on those countries. If they find uranium or, you know, certain countries have more uranium than others or whatever the ingredients are, keep your eyes on those countries and watch it like it's two people dating. You know, some countries are in the bed with the United States. Some countries are divorced from the United States. Some countries are flirting with the United States. Some country, I mean, it's just like people. And that's how, if you can just look at it like that, you know, it's usury. People are using each other. It's like in relationships. I only want you for this. After that, you know, it is the craziest thing. But the bottom line is, in this show, what we try to talk about is there is a kingdom, and it's called the Kingdom of the Most High. It's right here on this earth. And as we use principles, I don't know where you stand with this. I think I remember talking to you earlier last week. I think you're the young lady that called. You know, while we may not agree on Christianity, say it again.
I said, this is my first time calling in.
Oh, really? Okay, you remind me of another young lady. She wasn't a Christian. She believed in Egypt, you know, and so forth, and that's cool. But what I'm saying is, no matter what your belief system is, right about now, if we're going to survive, I mean, really survive, and I don't mean exist, I mean survive, where we can be happy and have our kids enjoy the finest quality of life, we've got to follow the shepherd. We've got to follow the Most High. And that means making some tough decisions, going some directions where everybody, all your friends, may be going another direction. We may need to change how we look at buying, change what we spend our money on. It may even mean moving away from the United States. This country is about to undergo a major, major change. Whenever you get the prophets and the economists agreeing, that's not normal. For the economists and the government and preachers all to be saying the same thing, I don't think they're wrong. I've been living a long time. Normally, them people don't agree with each other. But everybody is saying the United States is about to undergo a major facelift. Things are not going to look like they look about 5 years from now. And everybody's talking about 2012. So something is about to happen. And, I mean, I'll tell you a good video to watch. And if you go to YouTube, it's on YouTube. It's on other places. But you also can look at it on YouTube. It's called The Day the Dollar Died. The Day the Dollar Died. It's a very realistic video put together by economists, and it gives you an idea of what will happen when the dollar is debased. It's called The Day the Dollar Died. The Day the Dollar Died. And it's very popular. Millions have watched it. But it's giving you an idea of what this is put together by very smart people, economists. And a lot of ministers agree with this video. They said it's exactly what's going to happen. See, our businessmen are not, they're not for us. Businessmen are not pro-United States. They're pro-money. And if it means doing business overseas, they'll let this country go down the drain and do business overseas because they're rich. They're money. If all the businessmen did business overseas and hired outside of the United States, do you know what that means? That means there would be no jobs. That's what's happening now. Everything is moving overseas because people know something we don't know. It's the reason these businessmen are full of
The United States, has done a lot of things that have not been good in regards to other countries. You know, you can't keep bullying other countries and thinking that, you know, what goes around comes around. This country is nothing more than a corporation. You know, even when they did...
Do my favor and hold that thought, because I got to warn everybody. Everybody in the chat room, you need to call the phone line right now, because you got like 60 seconds and you won't even be able to call the phone line and listen. But we're going to lose you in the chat room in literally 60 seconds from right now. And if you want to continue to listen to the show, you need to call the 760-283-0838. It's right there on the left-hand side of the front of the screen there. 760-283-0838.
760-283-0838. We're going to
lose you on the chat room. Go ahead, Kia.
Well, what I was saying is that, you know, this country is really a corporation, you know, and so many, even when we look at the things that we have, the clothes that we make, that we wear, the things, items that are inside of our homes, everything is made in China, Japan, or, you know, we don't have too much things that are actually manufactured and made here. You know, this is nothing more than a corporation. You can't keep bullying and taking advantage of other countries and think at some point in time that, you know, what goes around comes around. Even with the,
right.
You know, even with the 9/11 and then going after Osama bin Laden, Gaddafi, and Saddam Hussein, you know, it's only maybe a lot of that stuff was just only publicized to Europe and to the Americans. It's other countries that don't even buy it. It's plenty of countries that was not in agreement with it. I think it only maybe 9 countries out of 22 that was in cahoots with this whole thing going after, you know, Saddam and the other individuals. So,
yeah.
You know, like you said, you have to be prepared. You know, you have to get yourself right. You have to be prepared. And if you caught up with all these materialistic things, and even in regards to, like, your health, you know, you can't keep eating all of this bad stuff. You have to start doing more natural, get more in tune with yourself. So when all of these things go away, you still can be in a position to survive. And once you're educated and know what's about to happen, you would not be dismayed.
Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that the United States, do you believe that 9/11 was done, that those towers was tore down by Osama bin Laden?
No, I do not.
Who do you believe did it?
It was something that was generated by our government in an effort to get the people aroused and say, yeah, let's go get him. That's all
it
was about.
You're very smart lady. You're absolutely right. And loose change, for those people that think she's cuckoo and I'm cuckoo, type in the word loose change in any on the internet, anywhere. You can go to YouTube, type in the word loose, L-O-O-S-E, loose change. Like loose change in your pocket, change. And there's a free video you can watch, and it's about an hour long. And I'm telling you, they went and gathered facts from all over. You know, there was a bunch of people saying different things they saw that was coming against everything we was hearing from the media. Well, they got all those people together. They got more factual stuff. They threw out stuff that didn't have no. Even though it might have been right, if they can prove it, they only got just hardcore evidence of what happened on September 11th. That video will change you. That video is, millions have looked at it, and everybody's that have seen that video, if you watch the whole thing, you have no doubt in your mind that your United States government is behind the whole 9/11, and like my sister said, to give us the perfect alibi to do what we're doing in Iraq and what we're going to be doing in other parts of the world. So, again, that is called loose change. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and play the data dollar guide. It's only 7 minutes and 7 seconds. We'll wrap up the show with that. I'm going to let my sister have last words, and then we're going to play, in lieu of my song that I normally play, I'm going to play the Days of Dollar Dot, and we'll wrap up the show with this little 7-minute audio clip. Sister Kia, really, you keep studying, my sister, and keep listening to the show. Those of y'all listening to this show, you keep saying, oh, I like it, I like it. Please follow the show. Do me the one favor. If you love what Brother Seth is saying and you love the spirit by which I'm speaking, follow the show. That's all. We don't ask for no money. Just follow the show. Ask us to get a reminder sent to your phone or your email, and just do that for me, please. And if you really got a lot of energy, go ahead and go to the website that's on our front page. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Or you can just click on where it says 5 Smooth Stones in front of you. Go there and go to that website, 5smoothstone.web.com, and register and really join us. And I got a lot of photos, and I've been all over the world. Look at those photos and different things I've met along these subjects we talk about, these 5 smooth stones or these 5 topics we talk about. But Sister Kia, do me a favor, go ahead and last words, anything else on your heart, and we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up with the Day the Dollar Died.
Well, I just encourage people to just study and just prepare themselves. You know, they've already been putting things in play. You know, it is, we have to really take it serious that it is going to be a catastrophe over here, and you just have to prepare yourself.
Well, I appreciate that, and I want to just say this to you, and I mean this, what I'm about to say. I want you really listen. This is just me and you on the line right now. This is to you. This may apply to somebody else listening. My other sister that shared, she's still on the line as well, and so we got several people listening to us still on the phone line. So let me just say this to everybody. Somebody said it to me, and I'm going to say it to you. The Bible says it to me, and I'm going to say it to you. Despise not small beginnings. Despise not small beginnings. Sometimes we think we're just so small, this is so big. You know, that's why I wouldn't let that lady that called, the very first lady, the white lady that called earlier, telling me how educated she was. She said, this is going to blow your mind. And she started telling me, I'm really educated Catholic, you know. And normally what people do when somebody come at you like that, they tell me how educated they are. And it didn't faze me, because I know what the Most High is showing me, and you should have confidence with what the Most High is showing you, Kia, and anybody else listening. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you. All of y'all that's up this time of night listen to a show like this, you're not normal. That means you're one of those persons that's trying to make a change. People don't listen to shows like this. There's so many shows on talking about other stuff. You don't listen to a show like this unless you're one of those persons that's digging and searching for change. So I'm just encouraging myself and you and everybody else and saying, despise not small beginnings. You know, right now, may not have very many people listening to you, but maybe you do. But that's not important, because the Most High is going to bring certain people across your path. Just share with them. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know how hard they're going to run with this thing. And it don't matter how many people we affect. What matters is how we affect whoever that come across our path. Our people need to be woke up. And when I say our people, I'm not just talking about black people. I'm talking about humanity. Because that white woman or that white man or that white child deserves salvation and to be salvaged just like anybody else, especially if they're seeking the Most High. So let's continue to study. Let's continue to not be afraid. Some kind of way the righteousness is going to be okay. I don't care what the United States go through. And for so-called black people, I say this to y'all, to us. So-called African-Americans, we're already on the bottom. The persons that's going to have it the hardest with what's about to hit the United States is so-called Caucasians, our Caucasian brothers and sisters. We're already on the bottom. Okay, let's say we are a foot from the bottom, so to speak, and all of a sudden we find ourselves on the bottom. We know how to make it. We know how to make it because we've been there. Some of y'all are there now. What's more lower than the bottom? What's more lower than no food in the refrigerator? I mean, that's where you're at it right now, right? So what's lower than that? They can't come take the refrigerator. So we're already at the bottom. It ain't going to be no fall for us. But what if you're used to having, you know, servants and people catering to you, and all of a sudden, this is why a lot of white people are going through so much pain right now. It's really them that's going to suffer the most. And we, if we are righteous, got to be there for them. I know that sounds crazy because some of y'all hating on white people left and right, but I ain't trying to hate on nobody. I love my people and want to help my people and my family first. That's natural. But I'm not trying to hate on nobody. I want to help anybody I can after that. So let's just continue to spread truth and have the right spirit, and the Most High is going to share secrets with us. He's going to reveal that book, because that book is a code. It's hid. Everybody just can't get nothing out of that book. It's a code. He's going to talk to us in our dreams. He's going to talk to us. He's going to put thoughts in our heads. It's going to be like, wow, if we keep the right spirit. But if y'all simply around talking about hating white people, and you're going to lose. You're never going to understand what's going on. We will be nothing more than just pawns in the game by the powers that be to use us as they will. We will lose. We will lose, and I'm not trying to lose. So, Kia, again, thank you for staying, hanging on the phone so long. I'm going to go ahead and mute you, and then we're going to play this audio and wrap the show up, okay?
Okay.
All right, that was Kia. I love her spirit. Please call back more, my sister. I really enjoy talking to you. I'm going to play the Data Dollar Diet. Don't let this scare you. Don't let it make you fear. This is by a lot of people's account exactly how this thing going to go down, but we'll be protected as long as we do as Psalms 91 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Talks about how enemies going to fall at both our right hand and our left hand, but they won't come nigh our dwelling. They can't touch it if you follow the shepherd.
The following is a fictional story of events that may happen in the near future. 8 a.m., New York Stock Exchange. It's a cold, breezy day on Wall Street as markets await the Federal Reserve's announcement for QE4. Futures are up significantly. The Dow Jones just breached its 2008 high of 14,164. Gold just hit an all-time high of 2,900. Silver just breached $100 per ounce. The dollar index is holding at 53. With official unemployment at 16.3%, there's a nervous feeling on Wall Street that if this doesn't work, the world could implode into a depression that will last for the remainder of the decade. 8:19 a.m., Beijing. Chinese officials announced that they can no longer allow Washington to devalue their holdings. After making their concerns private, China accepts that Washington will never stop paying its debts with inflated currency. China makes an official statement from Beijing, quote, "We have made our concerns known privately for some time. With QE4 about to be announced today, China will have no choice but to stop purchasing U.S. treasuries. We have allowed Washington to try to work through their imbalances for 4 years. But with global inflation and U.S. consumers rapidly shrinking as a percentage of global GDP, we feel that a Western recovery is unlikely until they reform their entitlement programs." 8:45 a.m., New York Stock Exchange. Upon hearing the statement from China, Dow futures have a sharp reversal and begin to drop. Gold leaps past $3,000 per ounce, up $150 per ounce in the last 26 minutes. CNBC awaits a statement from the White House. 8:50 a.m., Washington, D.C. The president makes an official statement to calm investors' fears. He tells Americans that he has spoken with several G20 leaders. They have assured him that they will continue to increase their purchase of treasuries and believe that a strong U.S. economy is the only thing that will bring back global prosperity. He has also spoken to Chairman Bernanke, who assures him that a strong dollar will be the result of QE4. The president also reminds Americans that his recent New Deal recovery programs that he passed through executive order will increase the likelihood of a lasting recovery. He also notes that Beijing, since 2009, has slowly been reducing their holdings, so the impact will be minimal. 9:51 a.m., New York. Dow futures fall 850 points in the first 20 minutes of trading. Markets are halted for 1 hour by the authorities. 10 a.m. Main Street, America. The news about the stock market in China has now spread. A panic begins to set in and unprepared Americans rush to the grocery store. In an attempt to purchase food and water, Americans that didn't know what was going on are alerted by all of the news stories and panic buying. Within 50 minutes, there is a nationwide rush to the stores. Empty store shelves in America become a reality. 10:52 a.m., New York. Markets reopen and the Dow Jones resumes its collapse. Investors around the world join the sell-off in bonds and stocks and begin to purchase commodities. Unlike the panic of 2008, this time commodities are seen as the only safe haven from a dollar crisis. 11:30 a.m., New York. The Dow falls 1,700 points since reopening. Trading is halted for at least 2 hours. The Federal Reserve injects $200 billion into the markets and announces that QE4 will be delayed until further notice. Congress is called back to D.C. for an emergency joint session. Some members of Congress are saying that they consider China's statement a financial attack. 12 p.m. Main Street, America. Several cities begin to see civil unrest after grocery stores are forced to close. Traffic in the streets and violence break out. The president puts the National Guard on alert for a possible deployment onto U.S. streets if things don't get under control soon. Several news agencies are reporting injuries at grocery chains and call for the authorities to do something before it gets worse. 12:15 p.m. Toronto, Canada. George Soros tells CNBC that a run on treasuries is imminent and that there is nothing the government can do to stop it. He says it is unfortunate that a controlled decline of the dollar was not coordinated better over the years. Today really could have been avoided if not for the Tea Party politicians who demanded fiscal responsibility and a constitutional government. 3 p.m. Gold closes at $11.53 for the day at $4,053 per ounce. Silver closes at $173 per ounce. The president announces that due to civil unrest in some areas of the country, U.S. stock markets will remain closed for the rest of the day. With the exception of mining and other inflation-related stocks, the majority of U.S. stocks are down significantly due to the sell-off and flight to safety in commodities. The Federal Reserve announces that it will begin to purchase U.S. treasuries and stocks in order to stabilize the market. But this only feeds investors' fears of a full-blown treasury run and collapse of the dollar. 6 p.m., Asia. Asian markets begin a massive sell-off. Dollar collapse rumors begin to take hold of the market. CNBC Asia looks into a possible COMEX default and complete breakdown in the U.S. economy. Gold spikes in Asia, up 17.50 in the first complete hour of trading. Gold is now at 58.03. 7 p.m., gold and silver bullion dealers across the world have suspended all sales due to no inventory. A COMEX default is now expected. Several central bank representatives propose a freeze on currency markets and a fixed devaluation of the U.S. dollar in order to calm investors. 7:30 p.m., the United States. The sun sets on America. In the last 12 hours, the world has changed. Americans are glued to their televisions, taking a crash course on a debauched currency. Smoke from fires in the cities have put a dark cloud over the nation. 7:45, the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve announces it will inject $1.5 trillion into the market in order to stop any further decline in stocks. 7:55 p.m., OPEC. The final nail in the coffin. OPEC nations halt oil trades in U.S. dollars until further notice. They will only accept euros, renminbi, or gold. 7:59 p.m., the Federal Reserve's announcement to inject $1.5 trillion into the markets causes a sharp reversal in overseas markets. Stocks begin to rally even as Main Street melts down. 8 p.m., Manhattan. Gerard Adams, president of the National Inflation Association, sends out an urgent email alert. In it, he informs members that it is with great sadness that the time to warn and prepare Americans for hyperinflation has ended.